Hello, everyone. My name is Kim. And today, welcome to the show called Compassion Bikini. This is a show about... This is a show about... today's show, we have Rosario Lynn Cadigal Ponce.
Oh my gosh.
This is a show about, today's show we have Rosario Lynn Cadigal Ponce.
Lynn?
Welcome to the show called Compassion.
Lynn?
Yes?
Do you have the radio in the background?
I do.
Okay, you need to, I'm hearing the background noise, so you need to either be on the phone or pause your Blog Talk Radio.
How do I do that?
Okay, we're hearing a lot of feedback. Do you see that? Okay. Hold on here. I am, this is very fun and interesting about these. Lynn?
Yes.
Are you still with me?
I am here, yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, so excuse me for having technical difficulty. We're just trying to figure out how the studio is working here. All right, so let's restart again. So today we have Lynn Rosario Cadigal, and she's going to share with us on some information regarding taxes and how to file taxes and just lessons that we need to learn about taxes, as April 15th is this coming Sunday, and almost all Americans who have jobs or who work and all have to file taxes somehow, some way, and let the government know what is up with their income and how much they make. So, Lynn, tell me a little bit about yourself. And give us a little bit about your background before we I ask some questions.
So I work for a small CPA firm in California, and I've actually been here at this firm for over 18 years. So when I went to college, I studied accounting, and then I decided I wanted to be a CPA. I went and took the board, the test, and I actually passed it. So after that process, normally you have to work for a CPA to sign off on your hours and send that off to the state board to get licensed. So I was licensed at this firm, and I've been here ever since.
And how many years have you been doing taxes?
Since I started this here, so over 18 years.
Wow, 18 years of experience. So the qualifications and how to get update every year of how to, you know, the new tax laws and stuff. So How does one go and learn about all these rules, regulations, and laws, and how to be updated? Do you have a trick or computer program that helps? I mean, there are so many different laws and regulations. How do you know it all?
Well, as a CPA, we're required to take 40 hours of continuing education every year, and part of that we have some tax courses. So it'd be like a one-day tax course on updates of income taxes or all different kinds of taxes, payroll, business taxes, individual taxes, you know it, just everything. So for us, we go to a seminar, and they just basically go through every change in the tax law for us to be updated. But for me, I can't retain everything, so I actually have a reference book that I refer to during tax season, because there's just so many changes that's happened over the course of several years.
And so now there are ways where you could file taxes electronically and filing tax through paper form. So what is your recommendations on how to file tax? Is it better to do a paper form or is it better to do electronically?
For most people, filing electronically is better because the IRS gets their return quicker and it's not there won't be a lot of errors because if you do a paper return, the agent and at the IRS has to key in your information and there could be, you know, wrong inputs. So filing electronically cuts that out of the equation. And if you file electronically, you get your refund faster. So that's always a positive thing for most individuals.
And most of our listeners are mothers and a lot of small business owners. And do you have any advice and any recommendation as a CPA and how to file tax for small business owners? Are there any programs out there that you recommend or as for, you know, small or beginning people who are just starting out with their business? Are there any tips that you have on what programs to use and how to organize paperwork and receipts and income, net income, gross income? Like, what do you recommend?
Here in the firm, since I'm a pro advisor for QuickBooks, we recommend that small businesses get QuickBooks and actually use it. Our firm, tax clients who come in with a small business, we recommend that we will set up their QuickBooks so that their chart of accounts is the way it should be. And then I would also train them to enter their receipts and expenses, show them how to reconcile their books monthly so that at the end of the year, it's not a big ordeal for them. They would just give us a copy of their QuickBooks and all their tax documents, and it becomes relatively less painful for everyone.
And then what do you recommend, like, as when people are filing taxes? Is it better to pay in advance, or is it better to claim everything afterward and get a refund? Those are, like, the two options. You know how when we apply for a job, is it better to get it taken out from the beginning, or is it better to pay at the end, or maybe get a refund at the end? What's your recommendation on that?
So for most individuals that I've come across over the years, they're not very good savers. People don't, I don't know, it's the mindset of individuals nowadays. They don't put away for, you know, rainy days. So having taxes taken out of their paycheck on a regular basis is beneficial for them. Even though the money that you send to the government, you don't get interest, but at least it's being put aside, you know, set aside for them. So at the end of the year, when they file their taxes, they will get refunds, which they can hopefully put away in a saving, you know, retirement or some other form of savings.
I see. And then what are some tips that you have for us filing taxes last minute and also just in for future for taxes? How long should we keep our paperwork? What are the different tips and ideas that we should always have on hand before doing taxes?
So for last minute filers, so that you don't have a lot of errors, you should have your Social Security number with you, or your spouse and dependents, your wages and earning statements such as W-2s or 1099-Rs, interest and dividend statements from the bank or brokerage firm, a copy of your last year's tax return, bank routing and accounting account number for direct deposit of your refunds, amount for if you have children, the amount you pay for child care, because some of that is deductible, and also the provider, the child care provider's identification number, and your receipts for charitable contributions. So those are just a list of records that you should have if you have any of those for you to file your taxes.
So when we're doing any donations or anything that has to do with charity, so is it always better to pay with credit cards or anything with receipts, or is it better just to do cash and then just write it up after?
Actually,
or do you have to show proof?
Yes. The IRS has been coming down pretty hard on charitable contributions. You need to, if you get ever get audited, you need to provide a receipt of those contributions, because they've found lots of individuals taking advantage of, you know, taking charitable contributions on their tax return as deductions, and actually, you know, they didn't really, like, if they go to church and they say, oh, I put a $5 in the basket every month.
Uh-huh.
You know, you need to provide receipt. The church would have to give you a receipt for those contributions to the church. So a lot of people, I mean, they just say that they did, but they really didn't do that.
Uh-huh.
So it's, the IRS is really trying to cut down on those type of deductions that people are actually not doing.
And then you say, like, some people get audited and some people don't. Like, how does the IRS, or how do some people get audited and some people don't? How does that work?
Well, in the Santa Clara County, there's a high percentage of audits that are done on Schedule C individuals, which is small business, because they feel that small business individuals are taking excess deductions of expenses that they should not be taking, like if they're putting personal type expenses and using it as a business deduction. So at least in the Santa Clara County, there is a higher percentage of being audited if you have a small business that you're filing a Schedule C. But for most people that have, you know, W-2 wage and just have a house, mortgage interest, property tax, those type of deductions,
uh-huh,
they're most likely not going to be audited.
I see. So is it beneficial to have small businesses in a sense of, like, you know, like hiring a person to do your taxes rather than do it on your own, because you have, you know, more likely of getting audited then? So what are your recommendation on, you know, so for small businesses or small businesses owners, was it better to hire somebody or do it on your own? And then if you hire somebody, what are some of the
loopholes or important keys when finding someone to do your taxes?
Well, since I'm a CPA, I would recommend small businesses to find a CPA to help them
mm-hmm.
with their accounting and tax preparation at the end of the year, because uh-huh. there's a lot of services that small business owners would need during the course of the life of their business. For example, a business owner might want to go to the bank and get a loan so that they can expand their business. And a CPA, well, the bank usually requires a financial statement for them to able to provide that loan to the business owner.
Uh-huh.
And a CPA is the only one really that can provide this service.
I see.
So
uh-huh.
if you have a business, you should have a relationship with a CPA for the life of your business. It's just a good practice.
I see. And then what are the, because this show is called Compassion Dakini, and for those who are new to listening to our show, it's basically a show that we share information and educate the listeners about different topics. And we always come back to compassion and how each individual who comes on our show share with us what is their meaning of compassion and what they do in their job, in their life, that spreads compassion. So as a CPA, Lynn, Rosario Lynn, what is your definition of compassion and what does it mean for you to do compassionate accounting? Can you give us your personal
Yeah, so I was thinking about that when you first asked me to be on the show, and my mind always goes back to my boss here, Merv Roberts. He's been a great mentor to me. He's always taught me to be an accountant slash auditor first, and then a tax preparer second. That means we look at your books to make sure everything is in its right buckets as far as your accounting, so that when your return is done, it will flow the right way. So
uh-huh.
We make sure that we are taking the proper deductions and credits that the law allows for each tax preparer. For business clients, we make sure that they have a separate set of books that is, you know, they have to have their own bank account for the business, and that they actually have a general ledger for their business, meaning that we've set them up on QuickBooks and that they run all their transactions, business transactions, through that accounting program, which makes it easier for them and easier for us at the end of the year. So basically we try to be, most of our clients, we hold their hand through the life of their business, because that's how we work. We offer a lot of services for the business clients, and we try to guide them the right way so that they can sleep at nights and we can sleep at nights and not always look back and worry that the IRS or the government will come and audit them and, you know, think that their deductions are, they're taking too much deductions or improper deductions. So it's just for me, I try to just make sure that everyone, as far as the business clients, are taking advantage of the proper deductions and credits that they should be taking, and not feel like they're crossing that line where they're basically doing fraud. So that's basically how I think being a compassionate accountant or tax preparer is making sure that you're following the law properly and having the taking the most advantages for the business clients or the tax preparer. Chris? Chris?
Yes, I'm still here. Sorry, Lynn.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, so, all right, so I am back trying to figure out how the switchboard works. And last question I have is, are there anything else that you want to educate us on tax and helpful hints for the future and for anybody out there who is filing for the first time?
So there's some, for last minute filers, there's still some things that they can look into that they should be doing before April, the tax day. So individuals can contribute to a traditional IRA, and that can be deducted if they pay that in before this year, April 17th. So individuals, the maximum amount that they could put into a traditional IRA is $5,000. And if you're 50, and if you're over 50, you can put in $6,000. For self-employed individuals, they can take advantage of putting into a SEP retirement plan, which reduces their taxes. And also, that really doesn't have to be paid in by tax day. They can actually pay that in at the when they file their return if they go on extension. So that gives them time to save up for that money. Also, people forget about that they might have some losses, unused losses, when they've sold stocks, especially with the market being kind of the low end or actually recovering from the big dip. So They might have some losses that they can take advantage of if they've sold any capital gains. And if they didn't, they have $3,000 of those losses that can be used to offset ordinary income every year. Let's see, what else? Other recommendations. If you have less than $57,000 as far as your income in 2011, you actually can go to the IRS and file for free on the IRS's website. This is mainly if W-2 earners. You can.
So is that $50,000 for family or $50,000 per individual?
I believe it's for if you're a family, your income is $57,000. You can go to the IRS's website and there's a link there that you can file for free. You also should probably look into if you have any education that your kids are, like going to college, they probably will get a 1098-T, which tells the IRS that they actually had tuition, and you can get education credits for that. There's also a retirement and earned income credits that could be available for individuals. You just need to make sure that you qualify for these credits, because if you don't qualify and you actually take them or you claim them, the IRS, they will know right away, and you're actually in bigger trouble later if you do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I'm not sure if you've heard about the earned income credit. a lot of people who have low income, they try to take advantage of that credit, and because you actually, it's a refundable credit. So if you have no tax, the earned income credit, you actually get that as part of your refund. So a lot of a lot of low income people try to take advantage of that credit. As far as refunds, using direct deposit makes your money get, you know, you get your money faster into your bank account. So if you're filing, there's that option on the tax return to have it directly deposited into your bank account. Let's see what else.
Go ahead.
If you're going to be filing an extension, you have to make sure you file it before midnight of the deadline. But if you owe taxes, you still have to pay that tax by April 17th this year. The extension is just an extension of filing the actual forms. Some people think
That's what they mean by extension.
Yes. Some people think if you go an extension, that gives you time to pay also. But no, you have to pay that by April 17th this year. Yeah. And then if you have trouble paying your tax bill, you actually can work out a payment plan with the IRS. And if you're unemployed and you still have to file your taxes, you can claim a hardship extension, which will give you more time to pay off your tax bill.
But so most of the extension is for, you have until April 17th to pay. Is that
pay
correct?
Pay the tax, correct.
Okay. So there are a lot of information that you share. There's a lot of great tips. So if we want to know more about you, how do we get in contact with you? Can you share with us your email, your website, your phone number, anything that we could go to you if we have any questions?
Sure. My email is rlcponce@aol.com. And we actually don't have a website. We're kind of old school that way, but our phone number is 408-559-3337.
And can you repeat it again, please?
Email
the phone
is
number?
Phone number, I'm sorry, 408-559-3337.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Lynn, who you are full of wisdom and knowledge about taxes. And there are a lot of listeners who are out there and who are very grateful to have all these helpful tips. And so my apologies first for having interesting time with the electronics and the whole switchboard. And I just thank you for all the listeners who are joining us today regarding taxes. And I really appreciate and thank you so much for my guest and my friend who just been a lifetime of a great friendship. And she is a person where if I have any questions regarding accounting, she's the first one that I run to. So if you ever need help, if you ever want to know more, she would be a great person to keep in contact. So thank you so much, Lynn, for participating in our show, and I wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.